Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Sanctify us in your truth.
A reading from Exodus chapter 34. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. This is the word of the Lord. Our catechism for this morning is on page 324, the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer. I will read the bold print and the italicized. Congregation, respond with the plain print. The fifth petition. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What does this mean? We pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them, but we ask that he would give them all to us by grace. For we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. So we too will sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone, because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. This is our text. Must have been a strange scene. Moses walking back down into the camp, the people there at the foot of the mountain, and everyone giving him uncomfortable looks and backing away and keeping their distance. What's going on? Moses must have thought, because the text tells us he didn't know that his face was glowing. Maybe Moses just assumed that the people were backing away because the very last time he had come down the mountain with two stone tablets in his hand, Moses had seen the people dancing around a golden calf, having so quickly and so easily forsaken the God who redeemed them. Maybe Moses assumed that the people were backing away because the very last time that he had come down the mountain, two stone tablets in hand, Moses had burned with anger and his face had turned beet red, and he had cast the covenant tablets to the ground, shattering them. Maybe Moses assumed that the people were backing away because the very last time he had come down the mountain, he had taken hold of the golden calf idol, burned it in fire, ground it to powder, mixed it with water, and forced the people to drink it. Or because the very last time he had called the Levites to his side, commanded them to unsheathe their swords, and dispatched them throughout the camp, striking down 3,000 of these faithless, stiff-necked rebels. Or because the very last time Moses had come down the mountain, the Lord had sent a plague against the people because they made the calf, the one that Aaron made. Maybe that's why everyone was looking so uncomfortable and keeping their distance, Moses might have thought. But no, this time it was because his face was glowing with divine splendor, with heavenly glory, with the glory of the God of Israel, because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him, the text says. At some point here, Moses apparently realizes what is going on, that his face is shining, scaring the people, and he calls to them and summons them near, explains things, reassures them, and begins to speak to them the words of God. It's interesting that it is only here in the book of Exodus, it's only on this trip down the mountain, that Moses' face now shines with divine light and splendor. In chapters 19 and 20, when Israel arrives at Mount Sinai and God descends on the mountain in burning fire and smoke and cloud and thunder and lightning and earthquake, and the people hear him speaking with Moses and they stand far off, trembling in fear, Moses comes and speaks to them, but his face isn't glowing. After that, Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was, Exodus tells us. And God speaks to him more, giving him just ordinances for the people in chapters 21 through 23. And in chapter 24, Moses returns back to the people. He inscribes God's word on a scroll and reads it in the hearing of the people. He establishes God's covenant with them in blood. But his face is not glowing. And then at the end of chapter 24, we read, "Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire at the top of the mountain in the eyes of the house of Israel." And Moses again entered the cloud and went up on the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. And when he came down that time and found the people worshiping an idol of gold, I'm sure that his face was a sight to behold, but it was not glowing with divine light and glory. It's only on this trip down the mountain, this trip in our text this morning, only on this trip down the mountain that the face of God's prophet now begins to shine with God's own light. Perhaps this is because it is only now in the story. Only now, in the bare face of the people's iniquity and rebellion, only now when God has seen, when it has become so clear that this is a stiff-necked people, unworthy of their holy calling, unworthy to bear the name of Yahweh, only now, when this prophet has stood before the just and fuming wrath of the living God and prayed, "Forgive their sin, but if not, blot me out from the book that you have written." Only now, when Moses has asked in wonder at God's merciful assent, "Show me your glory," and God has passed before Moses, declaring the divine name in all of its beauty and depth, Yahweh, Yahweh, a merciful and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, guarding steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Only now, when hearing this, Moses had fallen on his face in awe and worship and prayed, "If now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, please let the Lord go in the midst of us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance." It's only now, when the Lord has answered Moses' prayer by declaring that the time has come for the greatest miracle and wonder in the entire Exodus story, a story full of miracles and wonders, but the greatest of them, God declares, is that he will indeed now renew his covenant with stiff-necked sinners in mercy. He will go with them. He will be their God, and they his people, this stiff-necked people, his people. Only now does the face of God's prophet shine with true heavenly splendor, the light of the God of our salvation, the God whose greatest glory is in showing mercy to sinners. Peter ends in his commentary on Exodus, writes this, summing up chapters 32 through 34, the golden calf story, which ends with our reading this morning. He writes, "It is not so much a story of rebellion as it is a story of God's forgiveness and Moses' role in making this happen. It is in these chapters that Moses' role as intercessor, as mediator of the covenant, reaches its zenith. If we wish to point to the episode that makes Moses truly special, that makes him deserving of all the honor, attention, and respect that he has received through the ages, it is his shielding of an ungrateful people from the end that they most certainly deserve, even if it means taking their place and bearing the full weight, horror, and ignominy of God's anger." And ends concludes, "The world will not see the likes of this again for many generations." And it was many generations. But the world has seen the likes of this again. A prophet who gazed upon the merciful heart of God and whose face shone with the glory of this compassionate God. As St. Paul writes, "God has made the light of his glory known in the face of Jesus Christ." In the face of Mary's son lying in the manger, we have beheld his glory. At Jordan's stream, at Cana's wedding feast, as he was moved by compassion for the crowds, making whole palsied limbs and fainting soul, casting out foul demons, cleansing lepers, raising the dead to life, preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' face, we have beheld the glory of heaven, the glory of a God who loves sinners. In the shining face of Jesus on the mountain, and above all, in the bruised and thorn-crowned face of our Lord on the cross, we have beheld the glory of the holy God who has mercy on sinners. O Savior of our fallen race, O brightness of the Father's face, O Son who shared the Father's might before the world knew day or night, O Jesus, very light of light, our constant star in sin's deep night, from the Father's throne you came, his banished children to reclaim. O Christ, Redeemer, Virgin born, let songs of praise your name adorn, whom with the Father we adore, and Holy Spirit evermore. Amen.
Today, we at Concordia Seminary celebrate our new online Deaconess Studies program. This program is designed to prepare women to share the gospel through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching the Christian faith in congregations, hospitals, nursing homes, social service agent organizations, and foreign missions. It will be a four-year distance education program that leads to certification as commissioned deaconesses in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. For the online Deaconess Studies program, we will use an integrated curriculum, including 16 master's level courses that are offered one at a time in a live online format. These Deaconess students will also participate in activities on campus, orientation, and formation seminars. In addition to the online courses, the students will serve as Deaconess interns in their locations of service upon entering the program and beginning their coursework. Today, as the Director of Deaconess Internships, I am pleased to introduce the first 7 students in this program and announce their internships. The following first students in our online Deaconess Studies program have been approved by the faculty of Concordia Seminary for their internships, and we welcome them as students of Concordia Seminary. Ellen Hansen, Atlantic District, The City to Come Lutheran Church, New York, New York. Aline Kidd, Northern Illinois District, Peace Lutheran Church, Plainfield, Illinois. Grace McDuff, Northwest District, Bethlehem Lutheran Church and School, Kennewick, Washington. Robin Moyer, Mid-South District, St. John's Lutheran Church, Lafe, Arkansas. Leslie Ceramic, Southern Illinois District, Southern Illinois District Office, Belleville, Illinois. Jessica Vianney, Pacific Southwest District, Christ Greenfield Lutheran Church, Gilbert, Arizona. Judith Weichenthal Mader, Mid-South District, Ascension Lutheran Church, Madison, Tennessee. The SMP, Specific Ministry Pastor Program, involves both intensive one-week courses while on campus with online distance education classes. The men in the SMP program are already carrying out a specific ministry at a congregation or institution, a ministry that can continue to be served by them while taking classes needed for ordination and the completion of the program. When a man enters the SMP program, he also begins a 2-year vicarage during which the vicarage and SMP offices monitor and evaluate the student as he prepares for certification and placement into the office of the Holy Ministry. Today, as the Director of Vicarage, I'm pleased to announce the vicarage assignments of the spring 2021 SMP cohort. Last Wednesday, the faculty of Concordia Seminary approved these men for vicarage assignments, and yesterday the Council of Presidents, acting as the Board of Assignments for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, assigned them to their vicarages. The following students are now students at Concordia Seminary, and they will serve in these congregations. Jeremiah Bauer, Texas District, Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, Carrollton, Texas. Andrew Greer, Nebraska District, Messiah Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Nebraska. Joshua Hoffman, Minnesota South District, St. John Lutheran Church, Norwood, Young America, Minnesota. William Jewell, Florida, Georgia District, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, North Fort Myers, Florida. Kenneth Canipa, Texas District, Concordia Lutheran Church, Garland, Texas. Frederick Lamel, Minnesota South District, Our Savior Lutheran Church, Excelsior, Minnesota. Tony Martin, Southeastern District, St. Mark Lutheran Church, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Ryan Pennington, Texas District, Fortress Lutheran Church, Harker Heights, Texas. Today we also recognize the SMP students who have completed their classes and vicarages needed to become pastors in the LCMS. While they still have 2 years of classes remaining, the program is designed for them to be ordained after the first 2 years of classes and successful completion of their vicarages. Last fall, the faculty of Concordia Seminary certified these men for the pastoral ministry, and the Council of Presidents, once again acting as the Board of Assignments for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, placed them into their first calls. Almost all of these men are already ordained and will be called pastor during the announcement. The remaining have their ordination scheduled for the upcoming weeks, including two of them this coming Sunday. Pastor Brian Bosian, St. Luke Lutheran Church, Cabot, Pennsylvania, Eastern District. Pastor Kyle Borkerding, Our Shepherd Lutheran Church, Avon, Indiana, Indiana District. Pastor Jason Christ, First Trinity Lutheran Church, Tonawanda, New York, Eastern District. Martin Corns, St. Matthew Lutheran Church, Columbia Heights, Minnesota, Minnesota South District. Dean Dunavon, Woodbury Lutheran Church, Woodbury, Minnesota, Minnesota South District. Pastor Matthew Fitzpatrick, Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Lake Mary, Florida, SCLC District. Pastor Sean Hexel, Cornerstone Lutheran Church, Carmel, Indiana, Indiana District. Pastor Danielius Howell, Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Lake Mary, Florida, SCLC District. Pastor Eric Johnson, True Light Lutheran Church, New York, New York, Atlantic District. Pastor Peter Johnson, Faith Lutheran Church, Rochester, New York, Eastern District. Pastor Colton LeMay, St. Michael Lutheran Church, Fort Myers, Florida, Florida, Georgia District. Daniel Longden, First Lutheran Church, Charlotte, Michigan, Michigan District. Pastor Scott Magnuson, Light of Christ Lutheran Church, Marysville, Michigan, Michigan District. Pastor Mark Payne, Lamb of God Lutheran Church, Flower Mound, Texas, Texas District. Pastor Samuel Trammell, Calvary Lutheran Church, Indianapolis, Indiana, Indiana District. Pastor Craig Van Pay, St. John Lutheran Church, Luxembourg, Wisconsin, North Wisconsin District. And Pastor Jason Wallingsford, Mount Olive Lutheran Church, Austin, Texas, Texas District.
Today, finally, we also rejoice with the entire seminary community and the whole church upon the completion of the specific ministry pastor program by the 8 men that will now be recognized. The pastors that I will name have completed their 4-year course of study in the SMP program. They have shown diligence and faithfulness in being formed for the holy ministry while continuing to serve in the congregations that they have been placed throughout the synod. As is the case with the deaconess interns, the SMP vicarages, and the calls, these men cannot be here today because of pandemic restrictions as well. Pastor Jacob Bauman, the Cross Lutheran Church, SELC District, Mount Dora, Florida. Matthew Cario, Our Savior Lutheran Church, Northwest District, Tacoma, Washington. Mark Crossman, the Cross Lutheran Church, SELC District, Mount Dora, Florida. Wynn Durong, Oikos Church, Houston, Texas, Texas District. Joel Dietrich, St. Paul Lutheran Church, Florida, Georgia District, Peachtree City, Georgia. Craig McCourt, Peace Lutheran Church, Minnesota South District, Arlington, Minnesota. Jason Schleicher, Salem Lutheran Church, Texas District, Tomball, Texas. Corey Stallings, The Exchange Communities Church, Missouri District, Jackson, Missouri. And Laird Van Gorder, Holy Trinity Lutheran Church, Florida, Georgia District, Macon, Georgia. And now they're not here, but let's recognize these folks with a round of applause. And I'll just conclude by saying this to these pastors, vicars, and interns, to you and your supportive families, your mentor pastors, and the people you serve with the gifts of Christ, we offer our commendation with prayers for God's richest blessings upon your continuing work and service to the Lord in His ministry and for the mission of the church. Please rise and join in prayer.
Unless I forget, I have one addition to the prayers for today. We will be praying thanksgiving for Johann Augustine Thompson, our new grandson, who was born yesterday. Let us pray.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the gift of divine peace and pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord. For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and for those who near the end of life, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord. For Dr. Thomas Egger, as he deliberates the call to serve as president of Concordia Seminary, that he may be guided by the Holy Spirit to discern the needs of this seminary and the church at large, and thus serving according to God's holy will, let us pray to the Lord. Merciful Lord, for the benefit of your church, you call faithful men and women to serve in a variety of offices in your church. Grant your Holy Spirit to lead and guide these new vicars and interns and pastors, and to continue to bless those who are completing the program in their continued service and ministry, that they may serve among your people and carry out the mission of Christ with diligence and faithfulness. Let us pray to the Lord. Almighty God, creator of all that exists, we thank you this day for the birth of Johann Augustine. As you have added him to the human family, so also unite him to your holy church through the waters of holy baptism. By the gracious working of your Holy Spirit, help him to grow in your nurture and admonition, that he may bring glory to you and serve others in your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we pray for the schools of the Concordia University system, especially Concordia University Chicago, led by their president Russell, and Concordia Theological Seminary, led by their president Lawrence and professors Adam and Cameron, that they may be fountains of learning and with aptness to teach, learn, and grow, and may glorify Christ in all they do. Let us pray to the Lord. For the men and women of this seminary, sent forth last year to serve as pastors, deaconesses, teachers, and missionaries, especially James, serving in the Missouri District, and Richard, serving in the Northwest District, that they may be filled with God's Spirit to perform their ministry and serve us boldly and joyfully in the Lord's name. Let us pray to the Lord. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.